اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه. The month of Rajab is coming to an end. Ya Allah, you gave me the chance to come closer to you, but I refuse to take that opportunity. Ya Allah, who should be more miserable than I? The one who's leaving the month of Rajab without any accomplishment. Ya Allah, Ya Rab, the only thing I have to come forth with is to beg your mercy, is to confess to my shortcomings, is to confess to my lowliness. I am worthy of pity. I am worthy of blame. But you're all merciful, Ya Allah. If you turn me away, where can I go? Ya Mawla, if you tell me I don't like to hear your voice, where can I go? Who can I speak to? No one can speak to you of me if you turn me away. You are the one who sent the Ahlul Bayt to intercede for me. If you turn away from me, the Ahlul Bayt won't intercede. They can't intercede. Ya Allah, if you wanted to turn me away, why would you bring me here tonight to speak to you? I'm seeing signs. Despite my unworthiness, your generosity is including me in your mercy. Oh Allah, if you wanted to turn me away, you wouldn't put the love of Zahra in my heart. If you wanted to turn me away, you wouldn't put the love of hearing the dua of the 12th Imam in my heart. You wouldn't put it in my heart that I'd be searching for an audio file containing a recitation of dua nutba, dua. Of dua Faraj, something to remind me of my Imam, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. I know I've been a very disobedient follower, but I love you. My heart pounds when I hear of you. My heart pounds at the thought of maybe being able to see you one day, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. Are you around? I can't see you, but I'm sure you hear me, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. Could it be you're the one who the Almighty has given the power to take the hands of your lovers, of the mustadhafin, of anyone you want, and raise them to be your companions, to be close to you, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. I beg you. I read in history of these great companions of the Ahlul Bayt, and I envy them. They had access to their Imam. They saw him and spoke to him. That Imam gave them time, gave them attention, especially the close ones. You read the conversations between them, the way the Imam felt towards them, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. I envy them. I wish I could be for you as they were for the Ahlul Bayt. I wish I could be for Hussein the way Abbas was for him. I wish I could be for you the way Zuhayn was for Hussein. I wish I could be for you the way Habib was for Hussein. Brothers and sisters, lovers of Hussein, tonight is the night of the 28th of Rajab. It's Thursday night as well. This is the night, apparently, that Imam al-Hussein started preparing to leave Medina towards Mecca. The journey begins. Maybe it's these nights the Imam tells those who tell him, don't go, Hussein, they will kill you. He said, Allah wants to see me slain. He says, well, don't take your family. The Imam says, Allah wants to see them captive. Ya Allah, you have great servants, great slaves. Then you have me, this disobedient slave, Ya Allah. You take my hand, you help me. I lost this chance. Help me in the month of Sha'ban to be able to make some progress towards you, my master, Ya Allah. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحت كل عصام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح الحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك. ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لمنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت علي من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملت في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدو فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك الغضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إلياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا عقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهل هذا ضجيج الآملين، ولا أصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولا أبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولا أنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك أسمع فيها صوت عبد المسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك يتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. فمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون. إلهي وسيدي فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيته وبفضلك سترته، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلته أو إحسان فضلته أو بر نشرته أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولة، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا، وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. قو على خدمتك جوارحي، واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، أشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد، ومن كادني فكيد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك. وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النعم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام يا عالم لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. One of the things that we had going on this week that I feel is important for us to discuss and to have an understanding is the visit of the Pope to Iraq in general, to Najaf particularly, and to the house of Ayatollah Sistani more specifically. It is a time that we have got to increase our insight into matters. In regards to this particular event, there are three players that we are going to discuss. There may be others that are involved, but we're not concerned about them. There are three players that we have. One is Ayatollah Sistani himself, as a marja, as the one who was visited, as the one we respect, as the one that we see the blessings of his existence, and as a marja to many Shia followers globally. The next is the Pope who seems to be representing the Catholic Church specifically, and perhaps some Christians of the Catholic Church, those who attend the Catholic Church, and perhaps some outside of that church admire, see as a form of religious figure, maybe a church leader, That's a second player. And thirdly are the Western powers, the Western and the elite of the world, basically. The secular elite of the world, the CNNs, the BBCs, the Fox News, these people, the politicians in Washington, in London, and elsewhere, these figures. Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah protect him and prolong his life, is a marja to the Shia. He has lived under the oppression of Saddam. And after the downfall of Saddam, people have come to him. He has provided guidance. He has helped the Iraqi people unite on critical matters of forming the constitution, the government. And more recently, the unity that came amongst people in Iraq to arm themselves and join forces to go and secure themselves, provide security, and defend the people themselves, the shrines, the sacred and holy land of Iraq, from Daesh and from the occupiers, which is the recent part of what Hashd al-Shaabi is doing. They are making sure that the law that was passed by the parliament and the Americans don't want to adhere to it. Hashd al-Shaabi is making sure that they are forced into adhering to it and leaving the country. Ayatollah Sistani in this visit was the one who is the figure receiving the Pope. The Pope went through the struggle of traveling with the conditions that are at hand and going to the humble street of Ayatollah Sistani and to the humble home of Ayatollah Sistani and sit on the humble furniture, if we may even use that word for what was there, and they sat on in the humble house of Ayatollah Sistani. The one who received the Pope is Ayatollah Sistani. For us as Muslimin and as Shia, it is not an honor for Ayatollah Sistani to receive the Pope. It is an honor for the Pope to be accepted at the house of Ayatollah Sistani. It is not an accomplishment for Ayatollah Sistani to have the Pope visit him. It is an accomplishment for the Pope to have been allowed to visit one of our great maraja. It is unfortunate that many Shia seem to be seeing it the other way around. In the context of the Shia and Muslimin, they admire Ayatollah Sistani, they say a lot of great things about him. But when it came to the Pope and Ayatollah Sistani, clearly it was seen in the posts of some believers, in the conversations of those who unfortunately wear the imamah even on certain global channels that are viewed by people globally, that they think that it is an honor for and privilege and an accomplishment for Ayatollah Sistani to receive the Pope. The Pope visited Ayatollah Sistani. So what? Who's the Pope? What good has the Pope done in this world? Christians are being massacred in Iraq. What did the Pope do for the Christians? It was Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa and the leadership of Ayatollah Khamenei that protected the Christians of Iraq. The Christians of Syria were attacked. The Pope did absolutely nothing. And it was Ayatollah Khamenei, Hezbollah, the Iraqis, Pakistanis, and Afghan that went to Syria and defended the Christian people along with the Muslimin of Syria. When the Zionists occupied Lebanon, the Pope did nothing about the Christians that are one of the major players in Lebanon. The Pope did nothing about those Christians being slaughtered by the Zionists, hurt by the Zionists. It was Hezbollah under the leadership of Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Khamenei that has protection for the Christians of Lebanon. The Christians of the Holy Land, Palestine, wherever they live, when the Zionists attacked, the attack was not only on Muslims, it was to get rid of anyone who's there and to establish their tyranny and their rule. Christians have been, they were and have been killed, tortured, dislocated. The Pope has done nothing about that. It is jihad, it is Hamas that are fighting for the rights of all Palestinians, including the Christians, trying their best to provide protection for the Christians along with the Muslims and the Jews, the original Jews of the Holy Land, Palestine. And the list continues. The list continues. There are too many examples. In the name of the church, in the name of Catholicism, in the name of the Pope, the Native Americans were massacred. The Pope did nothing. The people, the natives of South America were massacred. The Pope did nothing. The natives of Africa were massacred. The Pope did nothing. Southeast Asia, the Pope did nothing. And the current Pope, which, whom we respect, these are critiques that we hope that the Pope and the church establishment changes their position, as Christianity is not a religion that they decide what it is and what it is not. Christianity was a religion revealed to Jesus by God. The Word of God is what Christianity is, not what some person makes it to be. While we respect the Pope and any of the clergy that the Christian people do, be it the Catholic Church or whatever other clergy in whatever other sect of Christianity, while we have that respect because of that, because of the essential belief in the one God that we all believe in, and we respect them whether they respect us or not, that's their decision and it's up to them. We Islamically are to respect the Christians, and we, based on what the Quran says, consider the Christians to be closest to us out of those who are not Muslim. We believe in this. We act accordingly based on what God has said. Others, Christians, from whatever sect, it's their choice how they want to treat us, how they want to deal with us. That's up to them. What is up to us is our decision of how we see Christians and how we deal with and treat Christians. So we have respect, but that doesn't mean we don't have criticism. Is this correct? Is this what Jesus stood for? Is this what Jesus would have done? All of this is happening. So the Pope visiting Ayatollah Sistani, it is not an accomplishment for Ayatollah Sistani to have the Pope visit him. Ayatollah Sistani saw it fit, perhaps to remind him. One of the important things that Ayatollah Sistani did in that session was to remind the Pope and anyone who hears the message of the atrocities of the Zionist regime. Perhaps this was one of, if not the most important point in the mind of Ayatollah Sistani, as we do not know. It's a statement of the conversations and the discussions that happened. If that's not the main issue, perhaps it's one of the main, most important issues in his mind. In our view, definitely it is. It is clearly the most important matter that was discussed there. And the Pope was reminded of that. These things need to change. So Atlas Sistani is who he is. The Pope, we mentioned, we have these critiques. This is the track record that's not very good. There are some serious issues, some serious matters. Then we have the enemies of religion. Then we have the powers and the elite of the world, whether they identify as Christians or not, their rule, their tyranny has nothing to do with Christianity or any religion for that matter. Whether it's the Zionists in Palestine, their rule has absolutely nothing to do with the Torah, the book of Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi salam, has nothing to do with any divine teaching. The rule of those who identify as Christian in America, in Canada, in whatever European countries that they still identify as Christians, their rule has absolutely nothing to do with Christ or Christianity, the gospel, the Bible, none of that. And so they have left the teachings of Christ, they have left the teachings of Moses. These powers who have been affected by the Islamic uprising, the Islamic movement that first kicked out their tyrant in Iran, the Shah, and continues to help empower the people of the world to take their own hands in their own matters, in their own matters in their own hands, and take care of their own rule themselves, stand up against the powerful lobbies, the powerful tyrants, the powerful rulers with whatever they have to control the resources of these people. The Islamic movement has continued to empower more and more people throughout the world, in different parts of the world. And the Islamic ideology, as it was presented by Imam Khomeini, which is nothing but Islam itself. The problem was prior to that Islam was not heard on a global scale for reasons. And I'll explain that very briefly. Islam was there, the Quran was there, the teachings of the Prophet were there, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt were there in books. However, even in the Muslim world, the rulers were not ruling based on the Quran. The rulers were not rulers that were considered legitimate according to Islam. And so all the teachings that had to do with governing mankind of Islam were completely disregarded in the Muslim world by the tyrants and forgotten by the people and not mentioned by ulama in any effective capacity. With the revolution that was instigated by Imam Khomeini, mentioning those teachings on a public scale in an effective manner, encouraging people, empowering people to stand, motivating them, they stood and they were able to, based on Islamic teachings, get rid of the influence of the British and the Americans and the colonialists in Iran through those Islamic teachings. Obviously, that's going to cause animosity, it's going to cause them to hate the Islamic movement, and they're going to try to plot against it in different ways. There's software, there's soft war, and there's hard war, there's military conflict. They waged various forms of military war and conflict via proxies, covertly and overtly. In some cases, they got involved directly with the Islamic Republic. None of those were effective. The Islamic Republic continues to grow, continues not only to survive but to grow. And more importantly, the ideology of the Islamic Revolution, by the very fact of its accomplishments that are visible to anyone who looks, it causes people that are observing that, who are oppressed, who are in need of a model to look up to move against the atrocities, the oppressions, the tyranny that they're under. They look and they find the Islamic model available to them, and they move in that direction, which is what we're seeing happen in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Bahrain. And obviously, they don't like this. Part of the soft war that they have launched against the Islamic Revolution is to keep emphasizing on the idea that there are two variations of Islam. One variation is the political or politicized, as they call it, Islam. And the other is the non-politicized Islam. This is what they try to present. Islam is Islam. No person has a right to define what Islam is. Islam is defined by God. The Quran is available. The Sunnah of the Prophet is available. The words of the Prophet are available. The words of Ali ibn Abi Talib are available. The words of Fatima al-Zahra are available. The words of Hasanain salamullah alayhima are available. The words of the Imams after them are available. That's what defines what Islam is. No one has a right to say, I accept this form of Islam or the other form of Islam. There's only one form of Islam, and that is what's found in the Quran, in the conduct of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. And that Islam is the most political religion from the beginning of time. As all religion from God were always political, but the most political one is Islam. Is clear through the conduct of the Holy Prophet, of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Generally, the ijma' of the Muslimin, it is clear. The Holy Prophet established a government as soon as there was a chance to do so. He established government. And he spoke of governance after he is gone. The issue of Ghadir, this is governance and government, Khilafah as it is called, the Holy Prophet addressed that. It wasn't a matter that was outside of Islam. Muslimin just want to do Jama'ah prayers, and so in order to do that, it's on their own. They just know everything in Islam. This is what Islam is. They try to say, no, there's another version of Islam. And so that theme has been going on for years. With this visit, the Pope represents the crippled Christianity in the West. The Pope represents the Christianity that was suppressed in Europe. In Europe, there was a time that the church ruled. That wasn't Christian rule, by the way. That's not Christianity's rule. That's not the rule of Jesus and Jesus' law. That's not the rule of the Bible, the gospel. It wasn't the rule of that. It was the rule of the church, an establishment that deviated from the path of Christianity. But it had governance. It governed. Eventually, the non-religious, the anti-religious, they kicked the church aside and they secularized everything. The Pope remained, and the establishment of religion remained as an establishment that only deals with what happens on church property. And even then, it's not whatever happens there. Under the rule and the authority of the atheists, those who reject Christianity, those who reject religion, the Pope represents a religion that is apolitical, non-political. That's what the Pope represents. So now the Pope is visiting Ayatollah Sistani. And then after the visit, these elite of the world start asking the Pope questions that make it clear whatever the agenda of the Pope was, that's one thing, they have an agenda in this. The Pope may not have anything to do with their agenda. He had his own thing, his own reasons to visit. That's, I don't know what happened behind the scenes. But it's clear from the conduct of the media, the elite of the world have a plan in this regard. And that is that one of the questions that was asked to the Pope was, what message does your visit of Ayatollah Sistani send to the leadership in the neighboring country, in the Islamic Republic? La'anatullah alaykum. So you want a message to be sent, not to him, because Allah Khamenei doesn't really care what you guys say. When they say that on this media, it's not to him, but it's to those who hear, the Shia, the Muslimin, especially the Shia. They want to create a split, divide, and say Ayatollah Sistani is the Pope type figure of Islam. And Ayatollah Khamenei is whatever else. The Pope, they try, in these cases, they try to give this very holy personality that everybody likes. They want, that's what they pull up. When they want, they pull up child abuse. They pull up all these nasty records. God knows how much of them are true and how much of them are made up. These politicians do 10 times worse. Nobody pulls that up. The church, everything is attacking the church. But in these cases, this holy figure, everybody respects. Who respects the Pope? Who respects the Christian clergy in the Western world in general? Christianity and theism in general, in many European countries, is at least away. People are moving away from Christianity. Now, those who are moving towards Islam, that's a different thing. But Christianity is losing ground, has been losing ground. And there's mockery of the clergy. Churches shutting down. Who has... It's just a figure, a useless figure that... Is that Ayatollah Sistani? To them, we say, to this third element here, the elite of the world that are trying to say, but with this visit, that Ayatollah Sistani is like the Pope. We say Ayatollah Sistani has nothing to do with the Pope. First of all, he did a favor to the Pope to allow him to visit. Okay. And the other thing is, this Ayatollah Sistani is the one that, even if the Pope comes, he's going to talk about the necessity of changing the conditions in Palestine. Okay, he's not your apolitical figure that just talks about Hajj. No, he is the figure that didn't allow you to have the American ruler that you did initially in Iraq. And he is the reason why you couldn't set up a puppet government in Iraq. And he is the reason why that Iraq did not fall to Daesh. And he is the reason for all the other things that he has done in the political sphere, in terms of his words related and his role in the political arena. This is Ayatollah Sistani. Don't try to give him another image. And please, ignorant shuyukh and sadat, ignorant mu'ammameen, please, if you love Western figures and you want to suck up to Western figures, and visiting the Pope and taking pictures with the Pope is something that you like to brag about, keep that to yourself. Don't associate that with Ayatollah Sistani. That's not Ayatollah Sistani, please. You love CNN to interview you, put you up there. That's an accomplishment for you. You can keep that for yourself. That has nothing to do with Ayatollah Sistani. We made this happen. Please, brothers, realize the truths of this world. Realize the religion that you are following. Look a little bit in the Quran. Read the Quran a little bit. Just a little bit. Read, when you talk about the slaughter of Imam al-Hussein and how he was slaughtered, see what that slaughtered throat of Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi wa ruhi lahu al-fida, was saying that they slit that throat. Instead of just making up stuff about what happened there and just making people respect you because you're telling them things that get them emotional. They love the Ahlul Bayt and they think You are speaking because of your love of the Ahlul Bayt. You are showing, you are revealing yourselves. That it has nothing to do with that. It's about fame. It's about names. It's about being accepted by these powers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, do you think you can get izzah from them? And al-izzah lillahi jami'a. Izzah belongs to Allah. Don't suck up to Western powers. Don't suck up to Western figures, Western media. The more you do that, the more you are hurting your relationship with Imam al-Hussein. The more you are hurting your relationship with Fatima al-Zahra. Some of you are the children of Fatima al-Zahra. You have her blood in you. But she is the type of person that doesn't care for that blood. Her father's uncles were Abu Lahab. She didn't care that they share the same blood. She didn't care. What she cares for is Allah. Her rida is rida Allah. Inshallah, we all learn from the Ahlul Bayt, from Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. And we turn away from these wrong ways of trying to be accepted by the enemies of Allah and try to work on being accepted by Allah and Allah's friends, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be of His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, especially those suffering from this pandemic in the various ways, all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of this day that He relieves all of us of this pandemic, inshallah. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. For the souls of all those that we have lost due to the virus and otherwise, all the marhumin of the small community we have, and all the marhumin of all the believers, and especially for our dear Sister Anna, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower her soul with mercy and to grant patience to those who lost her, all of us, and more specifically, and especially her husband and children and family. For all of them, let's recite Surah Al-Fatiha preceded by a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين